over 4,000 farms in 2025. 96% of the annual target set by the Environmental Protection Agency, and a 66% increase on 2024. Of these, 43% of farms were found to be non-compliant with the relevant regulations. Follow-up inspections found 48% of those farms had remediated the issues and were compliant as a result. But just approaching 3,000 enforcement actions were taken by local authorities. With me on the line to talk about this in more detail and I suppose underline the water quality impact of all of this is Michael Martin, Environmental Protection Agency Inspector. Michael, good morning to you and thanks for joining us in the programme. This is to do obviously with maintaining water quality and observing what's happening on the land. Is that right?
Yeah, good morning, Gerry. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it's for the protection of water quality and I suppose trying to restore areas that are currently poor or bad to good quality. That's the main aim of all of this, yeah.
So 43% non-compliant, what does that mean in terms of the numbers? It seems a very high number of farms that are breaching regulations effectively.
Yeah, well, as you just mentioned there, our report, I suppose, highlighted that there was 4,315 farms conducted there in 4,315 farms were inspected in 2025. And of those, as you rightly said, was 43% of them were found non-compliant on those initial inspections. Now, it is a high rate, and it's something that we would like to see decreasing. But there are more inspections taking place now, so it's probably reasonable to expect that there's going to be more non-compliances found. And it's also noticeable, of course, that of those 43%, when they were re-inspected, almost half of them had corrected their issues. So that was good to see that had happened. But this also indicates as well that many of those issues that are being found are easy to fix issues, maybe without the need of big investment, such as broken or non-functioning gutters or downpipes or other management issues. So, you know, as I say, we do expect the compliance rate will decrease in the years to come due to an awareness that inspections are now taking place and are being enforced. And also, there are a number of advisory and support services out there now for farmers to help them along and to give them advice on what they need to do on their farms.
Okay, what are the more common breaches of the regulations of those 43%? Where are farmers falling down?
Right. Well, I just for your own county there, I can give you an example of a few of them.
Sure.
The top one would be the inadequate gutters and downpipes, storage of silage bales near a watercourse, runoff from farmyard manure not controlled, soiled water running into drainage ditches, inadequate storage capacity for slurry, inadequate management of silage pits, and then silage effluent discharging to surface water. And then inappropriate spreading practices of organic manures. And I suppose another one there would be the silage effluent discharging to groundwater. So they'd be some of the key points. There's a number of other ones as well, but they'd be the key points there for, as I say, County Kerry in particular. And that's very much in line with what's happening nationally.
Yeah. And obviously, look, it's part of the key thing, the control of slurry, the spreading of it, storage capacity issues, as I said, runoff from farmyards, all of those things have to be watched because that's what goes into the rivers and the streams and the lakes in some areas.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what we'd be saying maybe to farmers is, you know, it's better to go out and to check on your farm for issues early on to prevent some smaller problems becoming bigger problems, you know, especially for the likes of those broken gutters and downpipes. They are a small problem in themselves, but they can lead to, say, runoff over contaminated yards, which carry nutrients and sediment into drainage ditches and then on into watercourses, or they can contribute to premature filling of soil water tanks or slurry tanks. And that they are then bigger problems because if the tanks are full, they obviously have to be emptied. So, and that's where the problems may arise then later in the year. And so, as I said, we'd be encouraging farmers to check for those issues early on and to check on their farmyards, to check around their land as well, just to see, are there issues on their farm or farmland that may be or potentially impacting on water quality. They can get advice, of course, from their advisors. They may have an independent advisor or a Chagas advisor, and they can go to those to seek advice on that. But it's always better to do this in advance of an inspection. Don't wait for an inspection. Don't wait to be notified of an inspection. You know, most of the initial gap inspections are notified to farmers in advance. However, there are other inspections take place that are not notified. So get out there early and check your farms.
Yeah, how punitive are the regulations, though? Would farmers say, look, I'm being pulled up for all sorts of small things? Or do you work with farmers on a reasonable basis to say, look, you know, just get this done, it'll be grand? Or how does that work? Because farmers would feel, in general, Michael, it's a more political question, I know, there's lots of regulations, lots of inspections for all sorts of different areas in their farm, with good reason too, but it can be a bit overwhelming.
Yes, I can understand that. And what I can say is, look, there's an obligation to comply with the regulations in order to protect the water quality, you know, and a non-compliance of those regulations can result in an enforcement action. Now, it's the local authorities that carry out the inspections, and they decide on what the best course of action is. But I mean, if an enforcement action takes place, it can range from a compliance letter with a period to fix the issue, which is something, I suppose, that applies to what you just mentioned there now. But also that can come in combination with a cross report to the Department of Ag, and that in itself may result in a reduction in support payment. So, you know, I suppose there's always need to be an awareness of that can be the case. And in some cases, there are prosecutions as well. And, you know, there can be a combination of them. So it depends a lot as to exactly what's seen on the ground. But the main objective is to protect water quality. So that's what's being checked for.
Yeah. And look, we're seeing from the other work the EPA does, you're in charge of producing water quality reports as well. And there are persistent issues, pesticides, drainage, sewage, not all coming from agriculture. There is obviously local authority issues themselves, towns and villages, wastewater treatment plants and all of those things. But this is part of your job. You have to monitor. You have to find out what's going on, or it will never improve.
Yes, that's right. There are a number of sectors out there that are contributing to the poor water quality. Agriculture is the most significant pressure on it. It's probably not surprising because it's the biggest land use in Ireland. So, you know, but it is the most significant pressure on it. And as you rightly point out, there are others in there like hydromorphology and forestry and the sewage treatment as well. So all of those have to be tackled, you know. So it's not one or the other. It's all of them have to be tackled.
Yeah. So it's a high non-compliance rate of 43%. That could be down to the increase in the number of inspections as well, which was it a 60% increase, 66% increase? Is that level of inspection going to be sustained by local authorities from here on?
Yeah. The level of inspection, what we're... looking for local authorities to do is to sustain that increased level of farm inspection activity in 2026 and subsequent years. We also want them to address the high non-compliance rate and they should increase the number of follow-up inspections to close out outstanding cases and ensure that full compliance with the GAP regulations. But in parallel to all that, local authorities, advisory services and industry stakeholders must also strengthen compliance promotion and awareness raising activities to support farmers in meeting their regulatory obligations. Because, I mean, we know, you know, that farmers, they want to have good water quality. It's crucial to their livelihoods as well.
Yeah, and there is elements of where they feel under pressure. They have to spread slurry by a certain time. There's dates they have to comply with and other regulations. That all needs to be worked out in terms of helping farmers get to where they need to be.
Yes, some of that can be done through management of time scales and to plan in advance, you know. And as I say, the important thing as well is to make sure that the tanks are not being filled unnecessarily with, say, water coming off of roofs or, you know, from areas that could be just put into drainage ditches as clean water, we call it, you know.
Yeah, so yeah, that fills your tank, then you're under pressure to empty the tank. If you had better drainage or gutters and dump pipes, you thought would start, then that prevents that from happening, which takes away some of the pressure to spread slurry at a not ideal time.
At a not ideal time. I mean, the spreading of the slurry at particular times, as we know, you know, is prohibited. But the reason for that is it all comes down to the uptake of nutrients and the possibility of unsuitable ground conditions carrying nutrients across the ground and into drainage ditches and on into watercourses. But you know, if the crop isn't there, it there's nothing there to take up the nutrients. So if you spread out slurry onto land, it's you know, quite similar to you're just wasting, you're wasting a valuable resource base. You know, if that is spread out, when you have a crop there, your crop can take it up. But if it's spread out at the wrong time, when the crop is not growing due to temperature or weather conditions, then you know, there's really no point to it. It's a waste, and it's a waste of your money as well, you know, because ultimately the farmer then will have to probably supplement that with a chemical fertilizer, which we all know, you know, is very costly.
Yeah, indeed, that's for sure. Listener wants to know, what is a watercourse, or what qualifies as a watercourse, Michael?
Well, the watercourse really, it's a stream, a river, but it can also be, you know, in sometimes can be called a drainage ditch going into a stream or a river. So anything that carries water into, you know, across the land and into a drainage, or sorry, into a stream or a river, they're all water courses. So now there are some, I suppose, definitive terms for what is a stream and what is a river, but when you're trying to protect water, really, you're just, what you're really looking out for there is any conduit above ground, like a drainage ditch or a stream, that will carry nutrients on into, say, a river water body or a stream. That can be, you know, classified as a watercourse.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting stuff. Michael, listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for talking to us about that and explaining those figures which came out yesterday. That's the figures underlining the inspection regime by the local authorities in the area. 43% non-compliance. A big increase in numbers inspected. A lot, and the good news was, a lot of that non-compliance was remedied after action follow-up inspection were taken by the local authorities. A lot of them, as Michael said, are smaller issues that are easily fixable. So if you have a view on that or that wider situation, then get in touch with us on the programme on 0667 123 666. That was a National Agricultural Inspection Programme report which details farm inspections completed by local authorities in 2025, and they're hoping to achieve a higher level of compliance next year following on from that. If you have a view, get in touch with us on the programme.